Mark chapter 14. We're going to look at a few verses here, and I'll put this in Sermons on Mark, a series that I've had on between my broadcast and between the pulpit here. I've preached a lot of different messages on Mark over the year and over the course of the last year, and I've got a bunch more. I mean, I don't have it here, but I have a folder this thick of expository preaching and sermons on the book of Mark that I've done in my devotions. So as the Lord leads, every once in a while I'll grab one of these and either teach. Last week I taught one from my Bibles, on my broadcast. The week before that I taught one on my broadcast and in the book of Mark. So if you haven't been able to listen to those, you ought to listen to those. One of them is I added it to a teaching. I opened up the first part of that on the broadcast about the Ukraine and Russia, and then taught a Bible study on that. Eventually, when we get everything situated out there, I'll be able to split that video off. By the way, that's another thing. You young men and even ladies that are coming up and everything like that, there will be ministry opportunities there too, with video, with audio stuff, with all sorts of different website stuff to work on and everything else. So I do want you involved in those things in the future, and I do want God to use you to help to do some of these things as well, because there's a lot of work ahead of us, you know, that we have. So if anybody's interested in doing some of that, you need to let me know. There's a lot of work to do with revamping some things, with actually formatting some things, adding some, like, to the sermon. What's that? Yeah, cataloging things. I mean, we have a ton of stuff to do, ton of work that one person can't possibly do. There's so much of it. There's just different things. So, video editing and some different things like that. You know, different projects like that. Also, putting descriptions on sermons and keywords in sermons. Brother Joshua and I talked about some of those things. About, you know, so people can see, it reaches more people. Just a lot of different things like that. So there'll be opportunities in the future for different things like that to get the truth out there to as many people as we can. Because if we're going to do it, we might as well do it right. We might as well do it so other people can hear it and listen to it and can grow thereby.
Just because we're not incorporated doesn't mean we can't use strategies and business.
Sure, absolutely. There's nothing sinful about that. I mean, using the internet to get the truth out there, to get the gospel out to many people, and for it to go everywhere, right? We want it. If the gospel is preached, we want somebody that's over all the way on the other side of the world that picks up a key word from there to listen to that sermon and, Lord willing, get saved, right? That's our goal. So we'll use, the Bible talks about using the world, not abusing it, right? So there's that concept of it. So those are things we're going to be working on, and just splitting some of those videos up and different things like that. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. But anyway, so hopefully you're able to listen to some of these that are online when you get a chance. There's some good teachings that are on there that I've put on there concerning the book of Mark here. So Mark chapter 14, verse number 12, we'll start there. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou may eat that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city. And here's the phrase I want to focus on here tonight. And found as he had said unto them. That phrase, I want you to think about that tonight. This is what we're really going to zero in on. We're going to talk about a number of things in these passages, but I want to zero in on this right here. And found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, help us as we look at the scriptures here tonight. Feed our souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find that phrase there, and found as he had said unto them. There's a number of things that stick out here in these passages, but the omniscience and omnipotence of Jesus Christ, him being God in the flesh, Jesus, the question was asked to Jesus, where would you have us prepare, right? Where would you have us prepare that Passover? You and I ought to always inquire the Lord in our worship. We ought to always ask specific questions to the Lord. We ought to always ask for specific things from God. Some of you walk around in too many generalities. You ask God to bless you in generalities, and God does bless you in generalities. When you ask God to bless you specifically, He will bless you specifically. God will meet your needs specifically when you ask for specific answers.
Amen.
Right? He will. Because God is very specific. And Jesus, notice the detail He gave to His disciples. I want you to think about this, because this shows the omniscience of God, being Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh here. Because Jesus knew exactly everything that was going to come to pass. You understand that? By the way, that ought to encourage you. See, when you study more of who God is, you'll be encouraged. If you keep studying who you are, you're going to be discouraged. Encouragement comes from you learning who God is. God is omniscient. Jesus Christ is God. That word omniscient means all-knowing. God knows all things. So then Jesus knows exactly where you are. Some of you act like God's brought you to a place in your life and He's not sure about where you're at. That's how you treat your Father in heaven sometimes. You treat Him like, well, maybe God brought me, but does God really know what's going on in my life? Yes, He knows everything. The problem isn't what God knows. The problem is you don't trust Him. And when you get to know God better, you'll trust Him more. When you draw closer to the Lord, then you'll be able to trust God through the darkest trials of your life. If you need answers from God, you need specific answers, God will give them to you if you ask for them. God's Word is where you and I find the answers to all of our questions about life. God's Word will give us detailed answers to every challenge or trial that we have. Think about that for a second. You're saying, no, not my trial. God, you know, nobody's ever been through what I've been through and I'm going through right now. So there can't be a specific answer to what I'm going through. Boy, that is the height of arrogance and pride to believe that God's Word, who He promised and said that it was all sufficient for everything that you would ever need. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what God said. Now you either believe it or not. Amen. Right? Thy Word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Well, you say my path is full of darkness. Well, that's because you're not using the lamp. You may walk in darkness at times. Isaiah talked about that. He walked in darkness at times. But you know what? The light is in the Word of God. My path is in the Word of God. What God expects... I don't know what to do. Well, get in God's Word. Because then you're going to find out what to do. But when you're only looking for generalities and you only think about generalities and not specifics, you're not going to get specific answers. You got to pray specifically. Amen. I noticed He sent these two men here and He told them exactly what they would encounter on their way. His attribute of all-knowing. Jesus, fully man, allowed Himself not to know some things when He said that day or that hour, right? He said that He didn't know. Why? I believe that Him being God, He didn't allow His Him being fully man to know exactly what that was. Does that sound crazy? Well, it doesn't sound crazy. It just sounds like the hypostatic union that we don't understand fully, right? It's just the depths of who God is. We don't understand that, but He kept Himself. Just like when He made Himself a man, just like when He came here and He subjected Himself. And God, knowing all things, yet it says that, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Well, how do I reconcile that? Well, I reconcile that, number one, by believing everything that book says, period. Amen. Period.
Amen.
I don't have to understand it.
Right.
God doesn't have to give me every answer for me to believe His Word. I just have to believe God. Right? By the way, do you know something? God doesn't owe you a reason for why he allows the trial to happen in your life that you're going through right now. He doesn't owe you an explanation. You owe him everything. He owes you nothing.
Amen.
He already gave everything to you when he gave his son. Right? You have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God's already given you everything. But when you don't use the tools and the things that God has given you, right? That becomes a problem. Notice the minute detail, right? Down to the man bearing a pitcher of water. Notice the power of Christ's persuasion in his commanding of his servants. He commands his servants to go, and everything falls into place. Everything lines up exactly how Jesus said it would. By the way, you're going to find at the end of your life or the end of your trial or whatever you're going through that it will be according to everything that God said. Right? Like that phrase says there in there, and found as he had said unto them. You will find by obeying the Lord, by following him, you will find things as he had said unto them. Just like he said unto you. That's exactly how it'll be. Notice the power of Christ, though. Jesus prompted them to ask the good man questions. Jesus knew all the things that were going to be in that large upper room furnished. Notice how Christ took great care to furnish for his people. You know, God furnishes a large upper room for us. God furnishes everything for us, right? Everything that you have right now has been furnished to you of the Lord. Spiritually, he furnishes everything that you and I need. It's all there. He provides it all, right? It's not an accident. God provides it on purpose. God does it because he cares for his own. Christ's care was to furnish his people above and beyond all that they can ask or think. God provides the room. He calls the disciples to prepare the room. That's another thing that I noticed about that. He provides the room, but he calls you and I to care for it. There are things that God gives us, and he expects us to be good stewards of it. He expects us to take care of them. He expects us to take care of things, right? To work hard and to have good character when it comes to things like that. God will provide all things in Christ. All things are given to his saints in Christ. If you're looking for all things to be given you outside of Christ, you'll be looking for a long time. Right? That means that you've got to want what God wants for you. That's very important. Because there are many times that you don't want what God wants for you. You just want your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? It's true about us, isn't it? Sometimes we don't want what God wants for us. We just want what we want. Isn't that right? Right? There may be things in your life like you want peace, or you're having struggles or trials or afflictions or things, and you want peace. Well, what if God doesn't want you to have peace at that moment? What if God wants you to have trial? Right? What if God wants to deliver evil to you as he's delivered good to you? Right? Do you and I charge God foolishly then? Do we make the error of charging God foolishly because God decides to deliver us evil? You know, there's going to come a time in your life where God does do that, where he does deliver evil to you, where he allows you to go through that. That doesn't make God wrong. Right? What it does test is whether you'll trust the Lord through that evil that he sends your way. Job did, right? And Job told his wife that she was speaking as one of the foolish women speak when she question God sending evil his way. Right? Right? In Christ is omnipotence and omniscience, holiness. And like verse number 16, and his disciples went forth and came to the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. They found as he had said unto them. You and I must obey the Lord in order to find all that he has said unto us come to pass. This isn't without obedience. These men had to be obedient. They had to follow through with the instructions they were given. Right? They had to follow through. Some of you would have the blessings of the Lord and the provisions without being obedient. And you think the outcome is going to be the same. Now, I'm going to explain some of that to you here tonight. But you think that the outcome is supposed to be the same, and you're trying to get the results of obedient people, of obedient Christians, when you're not wanting to obey God. And you're saying, well, the results should be there. I mean, I should be blessed, but are you obeying the Lord? Right? We must obey the instructions like these disciples did, taking heed to every detail He's given us. Many wish the blessings, but are robbed of the consolation because they skip over the details. They just skip right over the details of everything. Though those are insignificant, they're not important. We'll talk about some of that. They skip steps. What are some of the ways people do that? Perhaps they don't ask the Lord for specific directions, but look to generalities. Then they blame the Lord when things don't go as they planned. They don't ask God for specific instructions. Why? Well, because they believe they can do it on their own. We get self-sufficient and we believe that we can do everything on our own. So when we're like that, we don't ask God specifically. Well, I'll tell you what, you get in some trouble, you get in some affliction, you get some trouble come your way, and if you want to get out of that or you want to get through that and you want the strength to get through that, you'll start asking for specific things. You'll start asking God specifically. And what you have to ask yourself is, when in the midst of my troubles and my trials and the things that I've went through, have I specifically asked God for answers? These specific answers? Have I asked God to specifically do things for me? Specifically for this to happen? And pay attention to detail. Then they blame the Lord when things don't go as they planned it. Their plans, they assume God's plan. Let me ask you a question. Do you do that? Do you assume you know God's plan? Instead of asking God, instead of seeking God's face when it comes to that, do you just assume that you know God's plan? You assume how God's going to do something, not by His Word, but by your own feelings. Right? Not asking God's will, you just assume. You say, well, I want this, so I'm just assuming God's going to give it to you. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to have it. But you just assume that that's the way it's supposed to be. Why? Well, because so-and-so did it. That doesn't mean anything. There are things that God will withhold from you that He gives to others. I mean, it'll be so blatantly obvious. There'll be somebody next to you that is blessed with something, and sometimes in your heart you'll think, well, I really want that. And God says, you know what, I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because it'd be bad for you. But Lord, no, I know. It would be good for me. I really want this. I said, no, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be good for you. Right? And then, but you think, you start envying and lust in your heart, and you think just because your neighbor, your brother, or somebody else has that, that you should have the same thing. And you assume that God is going to give you the same thing. And God says, no, it's not good for you. I'm not going to give it to you. But if you don't ask God's will, you assume God's plan, but you don't ask God's will. They asked what the Lord wanted them to do, specifically. Do you do that? Do you ask God specifically? They assume they knew His know His instructions, but they don't diligently search His Word for answers. Do you? Have you ever had to get in your Bible and get something from God? I'm just curious if you have. Has your life ever been in a place where you have to get something from God, otherwise you ain't gonna make it? I told a story about that one time. I've told you this before, but I'll say it again because it's what happened. I mean, I remember newly saved. I remember being down in Iowa, and I went to this church, and I told you about that pastor that was just like all broken up, and he was just like bawling. He was in tears, and he said he had to get something from God, and he got it. Otherwise, he was done, man. He was done. I didn't understand that at that time, but 15 years later, boy, I understood it. I thought back on that man. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad God gave him what he needed, because he sure has given me what I needed at times. There's going to be times in your Christian life where God brings you to the point of desperation, where He brings you to the point where you hang on His every word. And let me help you with something. You're going to think it's a horrible place to be. But it isn't. It's the safest place you could be. But when you act like a little spoiled brat, you're going to sit there for a while until you do hang on His Word. Until you do care what God says. Until you do realize how much you need Him. Until you do crave and hunger after every one of His words, just so you could get up in the morning and continue with life. I know what I'm talking about. Because I went through it for 4 years of my life. But I wondered sometimes I was going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Amen. See, they don't ask God's will. They assume they know His instructions, but they do not diligently search His Word for answers. So then when all things do not come to pass, they lay blame and say, see, my situation is different. We have the audacity to say that our situations or the temptations that have befell us are not such as is common to man. My circumstances are a special one. I deal with people often like that in this church. So in this church, among God's people. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. They act like their situation is different than everybody else's. Like theirs is much harder. It's much different than everybody else's. It's much more complex. It's much more difficult. Like you don't understand how bad it really is. Well, God does. And He's made provision for it. God does. There isn't anything that you can tell me that you've done in this life or you've been through in this life that God's Word doesn't have the answer for. There's nothing. Nothing. And I can confidently say that to you upon the authority of this book, that there isn't anything that you could show me that this book hasn't covered. Why? Because it's God's Word. And He wrote it for His saints. That's why. But your situation isn't different, as some think. You haven't done your part in asking God. These disciples wanted to know the will of God concerning that situation. Let me ask you a question. Do you wish to know the will of God? Or do you simply wish to serve God your own way? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you want to know the will of God, or do you just want to serve God your own way? Because if you want to know the will of God, it's there in the Scriptures. If you want to know what God expects from you and what you're to do in your trial, it's there. I mean, it's there. You know, that's the only thing that I can say to you with complete confidence. That the answers are there. I can't say that the answers are in me. I can't say that I have an answer in my own wisdom for your situation. I can't say that, but I can point to you to the one that does. I can point you to the one that knows all things and that's covered all things. I can confidently. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in my flesh, but I have a ton of confidence in this book. Upon the authority of God's Word, that the answers are there. That God's Word is true. That God's Word is clear. And that God makes the way. He explains it very thoroughly. You know, some of you are tempted to say, look, it doesn't work the way God says it would in my situation. Well, there's reasons you believe that. You're wrong, but there's reasons you believe that. Right? It's a sin and a grave mistake to charge God foolishly. Because that's what you're doing. Because the Bible says, and they found as He had said unto them. He found it just the way He said unto them it would be. Amen. Right? See, some lose out because they don't ask, they don't pray, they don't seek God's Word. Some do not find as He had said unto them because they count each step as insignificant. They don't follow through with each step. They count some of them insignificant or not important. And if you do that, that's what you'll do. You'll skip out and you won't find things. Why? You didn't follow the directions. Right? You thought one of those steps was insignificant. They do diligently ask God for help and seek His face, but they fail to follow through with every step. And they count some of them not being necessary. They skip over, right, some of the steps. They are hearers of the word and not doers only, deceiving their own selves. See, that's what that means. You hear it and you don't follow it, but then you blame God for it. That's what happens. It happens a lot, actually. It's very, very common. Their deception comes from truly believing what they heard, but not acting on it, or acting on it with all their hearts. Ignoring important steps of obedience along the way. Then they don't find things as He said unto them, and they blame God and somehow see some sort of enigma of sorts with their life. That their situation is an enigma. Their situation is different. No, it isn't. God's word is plain and true. It's not. It's not. There's not. Your situation is no different than anyone else's. Your trials, while they may be different, and they in their diverse nature, right? They may be different, but they're such as is common to all of us. You're not the only person that struggled with assurance of salvation. You might think you're the only one in the room today that's ever struggled with that. God's people have been struggling with it since God had a people. Amen. How about that? And I don't care if they're a pastor, a preacher. I don't care if they're the deacon. It doesn't matter what they are. They've had struggles and they've had trials and they've had doubts and they've had fears and they've had things come their way. You're not the first one to go through that. And you ain't going to be the last one that goes through it either. But the answer is the same. Jesus, lover of my soul. Amen. Right? You have other trials that you're facing. God's not giving you something that you want. And you're not happy about that. Or you're tried over that. It affects you. Well, if you just ask God, well, God, do you want me to have this? I'll tell you what you do. You lay it down and let it go. And then you ask God what He wants for you. What do you want me to have, Lord? Give me what you want me to have, even if I don't want it. Well, what's that? That's praying, not my will, but Thy will be done. I'll tell you something right now. When your hands are full, you can never receive something until you let go of what's in your hands. And when your will is in your hands, you ain't grasping onto the will of God. You're too busy. You're too busy with your own will, having things your own way, wanting everything your way. Yeah. So, I mean, you're not going to get. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything of God. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Because at the point, you've got to come to grips and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to have this? I remember when I, back 3 or 4 years ago when I was going to sell my house the first time. And maybe that was the second time. I don't know. I've tried to sell it 3 or 4 times at that house. I don't know. Anyway, but one of those times, I remember that. And I remember being like, well, yeah, but I want to buy another house and I want to do this and I want to do that. And God brought me to a place and I'm going to tell you what, some of you won't believe this, but I believe it. God sent that deer right out in that road and run. I didn't run into that deer. That deer ran into me. I kid you, man. That deer was like kamikaze suicide mission. Ran right out. I mean, it just, I swear it looked at me and went, I'm coming. Boom. And just, I mean, Paul, it like ran right out in front of me. Like, man. And I started thinking then. I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me to do? Get back into that house. I don't go back into that house. Not that you're going back into that house. You're going back into that house. Well, you know what? I look at it 5 years later. I know why God wanted to send me, because God wanted to bless me. You know, God might be sending you through trials right now because He wants to bless you later. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? There's sometimes that God's got something for you later. You want it now. Maybe God doesn't want you to have it like that. Sometimes we don't think like that, though. We're too busy thinking about ourselves and our own desires. The enigma tends to be truly in your mind and self-induced. When you have enigmas and things that run contrary to the Scriptures, when you really do, like your feelings do, and your fear does, and everything mounts up, and you have those enigmas that come into your mind, and you have those things, guess what? That's something exalting itself above the knowledge of God. You're not supposed to listen to it. You're supposed to cast it down. See, you're supposed to cast that down. You're not supposed to listen to that. You're not supposed to entertain that. You're supposed to believe God over that. You know what God constantly drilled into my head for that 4 years of time? No, you're going to believe me over that. Man, I had some really crazy things go through my brains, really crazy bad things for like a long time, right? And God said, no, you're going to believe me over that. Amen. Well, I know how it is to believe God over like things that happen outside of your mind. And you're like, I never experienced anything where I actually had to believe God over the things that over my own mind turning against me. But you know, when I got fearful about that, I thought, well, is that even possible? And then I went to the Scriptures, and God guided me through the Psalms, and I started reading the Psalms, and what did the Psalms say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. You mean your heart can actually speak to you? Yeah. And sometimes it's really wrong. Well, how do I know whether it's wrong or not? When it speaks against God, it's wrong. When it speaks against what God's done in my soul, it's wrong. And what did David do? David spoke to his heart. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. He told his heart to hope in God. Do you do that or you just believe it? Do you tell your heart to hope in God? And Brother Paul says something funny. He said, most Christians are like schizophrenic. He said, remember that? You said something like that. Most people see us as schizophrenic, right? Because we're like two people, you know. But it's really true in that sense. In the sense of the word, right? We have the spirit, we have the new man in us, and we have the old man, we have the flesh, the spirit of God working in the new man, right? And we're sealed on the day of redemption. There's a constant war. You know, these hymns, you go through these hymns, they talk about the war in their flesh, and you read their hymns and they're talking about the absolute war that they went through just getting up in the morning and like going and doing things. And that's what those hymns are about. Because they're telling you what they went through, what the battle was and the fight is. It's there, right? It's not an enigma. It's such as is common to man. But you and I, it's taboo to talk about things like that. Like, we don't want to talk. I mean, we want everybody to think, we got it all figured out. I mean, we got the shirt and the tie and the expensive suit from the thrift store. Right? And, well, Andrew doesn't have his tie, but I got mine. But you know what? We think that, right? And we think that, well, that's the way it is, right? Well, we don't want anybody to think that, man, we're really messed up. Like, we wouldn't want anybody to think, we don't want anybody to think we're a ball of mess. Like, we already know, big ball of mess. Right? If we're honest, we could say, oh yeah, there's a war going on. What's that like? You want me to tell you when a war hits me like that, when that war hits me? I'll give you a few ideas about that. Like, when I wake up, like a half an hour before I'm supposed to get up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and then my mind's like, gladiators ready? And the war is like, there's like a absolute battle going on in my brains, and I'm like, I think it's time to get up and do something because this is not good. Because there's like a fight going on. And some of you are like, I've never been through anything like that. You're just weird. Yes, I am. But I will tell you that there's some people that can testify the same exact thing that it's like a battle. And some of you say that battle's been going on for a long time and it's more than one voice. I know I have like 100 of them at least. Oh, I mean, I remember like being afraid to do anything. Say, how did you do it? By the grace of Almighty God, the same way I still do it today. That's the only way. And the same way I always did it, by the way, when I was saved by the grace of God. And the same way you'll always do it. If you think it's you and your strength, you're going to find out it doesn't work that way. Amen. It's the Lord. It's God that sustained us. Like our memory verses we talked about. I awaked. Why? For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around me about, right? Set themselves against me around about, right? What? Wait a minute. I mean, David's talking about like attacks and war and him going through it and him suffering all those things and him being tried and challenged and everything else. And you and I just, like, how do you and I read the Psalms and like skippy-doo-dah through life and act like there's no big deal? Like, we're not going to have a battle. Like, well, those guys did, but those guys are back in Bible times. Dude. We're not going to fight like that, right? We're not going to have all those. We're not in there. Like, everything's going to be peachy and great here. Everybody's going to love us. I mean, we're going to be popular, everything's going to be fun, right? I mean, just hearing some of the things that some of you go through, I just, like when Paul tells me, stuck between a sodomite and a Satanist. I mean, that's like work. It's like, hey, we're going to work today, sodomite, Satanist. Oh, this is great. Is this like a bad joke? Yeah, this is just work. But isn't that a picture of life? Like the battle that we face? I mean, you're walking, you're going to have to understand that's the way life is. It's not some enigma that's only to you. I'm trying to normalize some of this in your mind and your heart. When you have those things go, I'm telling you to accept those things. What I'm telling you to do is understand that they're not that strange. Yeah, they're not that strange. Right? They're not. God's there for you, and He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's never going to. Amen. He's going to accomplish that what He set out to do. Why? Because my God is not a failure. That's why.
Amen.
We are victorious. And we're victorious because of Christ. And yes, I do have something to yell about.
Amen.
If you don't, you'll figure it out sometime. You'll get something to yell about too. You know, if you and I, when we're putting something together, if we ignore some important steps, we can't blame the manufacturer.
Right.
It's like, you know, Lucius and I putting something together and we're not getting it or something. And, you know, my wife likes to flip that little, did you read the directions? Did you read the directions? Like real meek and calm. And I'm like, no, what would we do that for? We're guys. We don't do that. Did you read the directions? Who does that? Well, that's what Christians are like. Oh, I'm already saved. I'm a Christian. Well, I don't know what to do with this situation. Well, did you read the directions? You were given instructions. Did you read them? Some of you have questions about parenthood and about being a mother or a father or the challenges of life and marriage, being a good wife or a good husband, raising a family, everything else. Well, did you read the instructions? Do you even care what they say? Well, most of the time when I'm putting something together, like I really don't. I just see it and I'm like, okay, I want it to look like that. Well, it doesn't look like that by you not reading the instructions. It looks really messed up when you don't. Hey, where'd this extra bolt come from? Is this arm supposed to go to that tree stand? Yeah. Uh-oh, where'd this go?
This doesn't fit.
And your wife comes along and goes, oh, that's step B. It's right there. Just missed it. No, I didn't miss it. I didn't read it. Right? Isn't that how it is, though? Isn't that how we are?
Yeah.
That's how we are in our Christian life. Some of you say, no, when I put stuff together, I pay attention to every detail. Okay, but do you do it spiritually? Because Jesus gave specific instructions to these people. He gave them, those two disciples, He gave them specific instructions. Are you following those? If you're really in turmoil or in affliction or in trial and you're going through it, are you specifically following the instructions? Like, do they matter that much to you? Like, you really want this to work out right? You really want to honor God? You really want this to be that way? Because it's going to work out the way He said it was, if you follow the instructions. When you don't, it doesn't. You'll have an outcome either way. It's the difference, like I've told you before and I've taught you, it's the difference in watching children grow up and raising children. Most of us, or many of us in this room, we just grew up. How many figured, pretty much lived like that, where they just kind of just grew up? They just kind of grew up. I mean, nobody raised them. They just grew up. They're like a wild weed, right?
Yep.
Right? They just grew in the field, right? They just grew up and grew. It's going to grow either way, right? The weed's going to grow either way, or the plant's going to grow either way.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, just follow your heart like a bad Disney movie, right? Just do that, right? And it's going to grow. It's going to grow. But the difference when you raise something, when you raise a child, when you invest into that child, when you teach them, when you guide them, it shows.
Yeah.
See, how do you know that? I'm looking at a room full of children that are being raised. They're not just growing up without somebody caring about them and investing their lives into them, without somebody giving everything to them to see them cross that finish line victorious.
Amen.
You see what I mean? That's the difference. They're being raised. They have a mother. They have a father. They have people. Yeah, they're being pruned. There's people that care about them. Right? They actually care how they're raised. And we can't be too specific with that.
That's right.
We can't. We can't be. Right? It matters. It shows. It shows to follow the instructions. Many don't find as He said unto them, because they grow impatient in the trial. There's nothing that will hinder our spiritual results and keep us from finding as He had said unto them, like impatience. Impatience, turn to Luke 21, please. Impatience in your trial. Yeah, that'll hinder the growth. That'll hinder your growth a lot.
Yeah.
When you grow extremely impatient. I don't know where I got that verse, but that's wrong. Oh, 19, I'm sorry. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess, that's the Christian life. that's the Christian life. You mean, wait a minute, preacher, you mean we live all our lives just for God to teach us patience? Well, you're living your life for Christ, and yes, you're living it so God can teach you patience, because you need it your whole life. And then you die. Amen. And you die. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. Actually, we'll read verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. You say, Pastor, at the point of my trial right now, I am not glorying. I know. That takes time. It's grievous, not joyous. But you will. Paul learned whatsoever state he was in there with to be content. He learned. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. It gets gooder and gooder. We can keep reading it, but we got to go. Romans chapter 15. I like this. Verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Wait, you mean all those things? Yeah, all those things in the Psalms, all those things, they're written for your learning. My learning, right?
Amen.
That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope? Wait. So, we actually... And what you're, it sounds like, Jacob, that the Bible's saying to us, that God's Word is saying to us, that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is saying to us that our comfort is in the Scriptures. Does that sound about right? Isn't that what it's... I mean, I know it's straight English there, so it shouldn't confuse any of us, but we should... That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Wait, so you're supposed to, when you're going through severe trials and you're going through heartache and those kind of things, you're supposed to draw your comfort from the Scriptures. Interesting. And look at that. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Look at that. The God of patience and consolation. He's the God of patience and consolation. God is able to console you. What does He use? The Scriptures, He just said. That's what He uses, is the Scriptures. So, if you're not earnestly seeking that through the Scriptures in whatever you're going through, you're not consoled, why should you wonder why? And when things are even more intense, and they are harder, they are more difficult, and you have more trials, and things become increasingly dark, then you need it so much the more. You don't need a small dose or a normal dose. You need a triple, quadruple dose. Not less. You're trying to draw on less, right, for a major problem or trial that you're having. That doesn't work. Yeah, it's old moldy bread, right? You need today's. And you need to draw, and you need to be so much the more in the Scriptures. So you grow, and you're patient, and you learn the lessons that God has for you. Patience is acquired through following the directions or instructions. It comes only through trials. When putting anything together, it takes patience. Christ is called the God of patience. It took patience for the disciples to follow every specific command, every minute detail, to find as He had said unto them. I want you to think about this for a moment. You know what I've found? That when I'm putting something together, and I'm trying to put it together, which really is not my strong suit. I don't really like doing it that much, but I do it anyway. But when I'm trying to put something together, I grow very impatient with following the instructions. But I want the end result. But I don't want to follow the instructions. I don't want to follow the directions. I don't want to follow each specific detail. But I expect for the outcome to be the same. What is that? Insanity. That's insane, right? Because I'm expecting a different result, but I'm not following the instructions. But I'm expecting everything to work out well, right? Doesn't work that way. Amen. Doesn't work that way. It takes patience to follow those things. God teaches us that. Some do not find it as He had said unto them because they grow weary and faint in execution of the instructions. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah, they grow weary in well-doing. That's right. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, it's interesting when you're raising your children, when we are raising our children together for the Lord and everything else, it's easy to grow weary sometimes. You mothers and the struggles that you have and the hours upon hours upon hours that you labor and put into and everything else. And fathers, you know, to work and to do all those things and to, you know, beat your body up going to work and doing all these things, right? And going through all those things, but you are laboring. Right? And you're laboring to see that growth. And the Bible warns us not to be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary. Continue on. You're going to reap if you faint not. Right? The warning about fainting is there because we're prone to faint. Right? That's not deep theology. That's just really easy to understand. Otherwise, God wouldn't warn you that if it wasn't possible. He says also again in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. as you labor and you continue on and you fight on and you know that you don't become weary and faint in your minds, which we're going to talk about here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, we're getting there. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. There's good lessons for us here. Good practical preaching. Good practical lessons. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have patience. We're to run. We talked about that. I preached through those verses years ago, a few years back. That we run with patience. Boy, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Because you don't think of patience. But it's that endurance that God gives you to run the race. Patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How do I run with patience? Looking unto Jesus. When am I going to lose my patience? Looking at myself. Looking at others. Looking at my brethren. Looking at other people. Looking at the world. Looking at the sin in the world. Looking at all those other things. I'm going to grow impatient. Well, how does my patience grow? By looking unto Jesus. He's the God of patience. That's where I have to get it from. There's nowhere else to get it but from Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of it. He is the finisher of it, which also means perfecter, right? He's the author, He's the beginning, He's the end, amen? And He's the finisher, He's the perfecter of it. He's going to, you know, when someone is a finisher, what do? They finish something. You ever seen people that do woodworking, right? You know about finishing things, right? Cindy made us that, what is it? What is that thing that turns on the table? That's called that thing that spins in the, that you made for us with the bowl on top of it, right? She finished that, right? She did a finishing work on that. She put that on there. Made it look really nice, and the wood wasn't bare and everything else. Well, that's the same way. That's what Jesus does. He's a finisher. He's going to finish it. He's going to finish everything. Right? That's what He does. Amen. That's what He's going to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Where does the wearying and the fainting come? In your minds. The weary. It's like be weary and well doing. That doesn't mean like after you run a physical race and you're tired and you don't want to get up and cook the beans. Might mean that, but it really is speaking of your mind. Why? Because let me tell you something, friend. If Satan can defeat you in the mind, you won't get off the couch. If Satan can defeat you in your mind, you won't get out of bed. If Satan can defeat you in your mind, you won't get up and do anything. If you get weary in the mind, if you get faint in the mind, you won't get up and do, you won't do anything. Amen. You won't do anything for God. If He can get your mind, right? If He can get at your mind, if you give over to that desperation, if you give over to that fear, if you give over to that discouragement, if you give over to that weariness, you're already defeated. The spirit of a man sustains him, right? But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Right? I've told you before, there's men that been in battle or war, whatever, man, they chew their own arm off to get away, and then they get away, right? And there's people that I've seen couldn't even get off a couch. They couldn't get up in the morning. They couldn't get out of bed. They were so depressed. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Right? They get up and do anything. Right? That's a wounded spirit right there. That's a weary soldier right there. That's one that is weary. Right? And where's that happen? Weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. You forgot. I can have discussions with people to try to encourage them going through depression and going through everything. And man, you have that same discussion with them. Man, the very next day or 2 hours later, they forgot everything you said to them. I know, because I was one of them. Forget everything he said. Mm-hmm. He said, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Neither faint when thou art rebuked of him." Don't faint. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." That's why God does it. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Amen. God's going to heal it. God's going to fix it. Amen. He will. They don't find all things to be as he said because they see the directions too straight or too narrow and too difficult to follow. Sometimes God's people don't follow his specific instructions. They tend to believe that they're too narrow or too straight, right? So they rob themselves of the blessings and they don't see the results that they'd like to see. God corrects them then. And he tells you to endure chastening. There's some things that you want from God right now, and God is not giving them to you. Mm-hmm. And you want them. But when you follow God's instructions, God's ways, you'll have God's results. Period. You're no exception to the rule. Neither am I. Your trial is no exception. Your circumstances are no exceptions. You are not some special case. Amen. "And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them." Everything that God said came to pass. Everything that Jesus instructed them with came to pass. And you'll be able to say the same thing if you follow him. Amen. And you can say. Some of you can say the same thing, and you and I, in many ways, can say the same thing about different things in our lives, right? Everything that he promised you came to pass. Everything that he said came to pass. It takes faith for you and I to believe God. And faith is just not some feeling that you have in your brains. Faith means that you and I follow the Lord through the hard times and the good times. Through the trials and the tribulations, through the heartache and the pain, through the doubts and the fears and the darkness, through the death, through the grief and sorrow and pain of mind and heart. Through God giving you what you want and God denying you what you request. Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, help us to hang on your every word. Help us to believe it. Help us to trust you by faith. Help us to live for you and to serve you. And Lord, help us to follow your instructions and we'll find all these things just as you said they would be. I know that, Lord. We know that by faith and we believe you. Help us, Lord. Help us to be obedient children. Not fashioning ourselves after the world, but after Christ. Help us to follow you. Strengthen us, Lord. Help your children to be obedient. Bring us to a place of repentance in the areas of our lives where we've been wrong. Strengthen us, forgive us our iniquities, cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Help us to follow you. Thank you for your blessings and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.